that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I've experienced in the last 3 days an exception to what I have been teaching and preaching about on the absolute necessity and essential of fellowship. It's when you're sick and contagious. That's the exception. It's a very good idea when you're sick to stay home and refrain from close Christian fellowship and watch the service on YouTube, as some are doing right now. And hello to those of you that are watching on YouTube. We appreciate that and appreciate you joining in worship with us. I mean, you want to spread encouragement and ministry, not germs and viruses, to other folks. Not everyone can isolate themselves like I can in the side room and just come out and preach and exit without having contact with you. But as long as I'm able and just not feeling good, I'll still preach. That might mess up some of the plans of those going, yes, he's sick, we can get a Sunday off. But, I have a usually annually or every now and then, twice a year, I have an annual visit with somebody by the name of bronchitis. And I think we've caught it early this year because I was forcibly against my will drugged to the clinic. And she wouldn't even stop at red lights so I could escape and get out. But so they give me this cough syrup that makes me happy. Is there refills on that? Yeah. Other side of that is I sleep a lot, but so if I cough, just please excuse me and bear with me. So with the exception of illness, face-to-face fellowship is an essential to your Christianity and to your growth in Christ. And again, fellowship is a part of a greater essential and absolute necessity of the church for you to grow, not to be saved. Hopefully, if you attend church, if you're around the gospel, you'll get saved. Amen. The church operating during the week is usually where that takes place. Somebody you work with, somebody you live close to, somebody you know, a relative, friend, they were saved and their life was transformed and that had an impact on you, and then they explained the gospel to you and you responded and got saved. That's still a ministry of the church. The church is not somewhere you go, it's what you are. You are the church. The church comes together as often as it can. For one of the things beside worship and discipleship is fellowship. But not coming together as a part of a church is going to stunt your spiritual growth, and it's going to isolate you from discipleship and fellowship, and you will be absorbed into the world and not experience this fullness of joy that John speaks of here in verse 4. So we have to be an active, committed, working participant in a covenant and be a covenant member of a particular congregation. You don't see anywhere in the New Testament this freewheeling Christian acting on his own, independent of a particular church family. Everybody is within the context of a church. All the letters are in the context of a church. Even the three individuals that was written to by Paul, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, were in the context of a church family. Now, we looked last time at the question from 1 Corinthians 11:17, where it asks, when you come together, is it for the better or for the worse? So if you're worse off for coming regularly to the services of a church, there's something not right. Either the church or you is not right biblically. Now, notice I didn't say perfect. Perfect doesn't exist on earth with an individual and a church made up of individuals. That comes when you join the universal church of Jesus Christ in heaven. The universal church of Jesus Christ is in heaven where he is. I was talking to somebody about the church, and they said, What church did you go to? Oh, I don't go to a church. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were a Christian. They said, no, I'm a member of the universal church. I said, where is that exactly? What's the name of your pastor? I'd like to meet him. No, the universal church is in heaven, and you join that when you have a glorified body. And you're resurrected. Now, you're spiritually joined together with Jesus Christ and with his church at salvation. In the same way that Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that we are raised up together and have been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's a spiritual position, not a physical position. We're not in heaven physically right now. We're joined together spiritually with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. But that physical union has not taken place yet. That takes place in Revelation 19. Now we're confined to a physical location in a physical time zone and in a physical body with a head of the church, both in heaven and on earth, Jesus Christ. And he is directing the church through the indwelling Holy Spirit that is in each of us. And the Holy Spirit carries out the will and the direction of the head of the church through individuals that are in individual churches. Revelation 1 says Jesus Christ is right now. His present position right now at this instant is in heaven in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And those candlesticks, we know from chapters 2 and 3, are the seven churches, more than plural, more than one. He's operating in the midst of all of the churches in all of the earth, in all of the seven ages of church history. So this particular church on this hill at this time is a part of that. Amen. As we're joined together in a church family, submitted and committed to the Lord and to his word and to each other, we carry out the work and mission given to us by Jesus Christ together that he began. We simply continue what he began. An integral part of that work is fellowship. And we left off with point one being there is no way to experience fellowship without spending time with somebody else. Now, you can be a part of the fellowship, and just because during the week we don't have face-to-face time together as a group, many of us have face-to-face time through friendships. We are connected through the phone, through the email, through text. Stay connected, particularly the prayer ministry. Prayer ministry, when you are sick, when you have an urgent problem, the prayer ministry comes together. When it's urgent, we tell the entire church family before we meet, if it's before we can meet together, the whole church family is praying. And that is a part of fellowship, but it is not fellowship directly. That only takes place when you are looking at someone face to face. A lot of times, a person doesn't even have to ask how you are. If they know you, they know something's wrong. So they immediately begin to minister. That's fellowship. Now, back in our text, he said, John said, that verse 1, that which we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 3, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you. If you have been born again and you've received Christ as Savior, you've seen something, you've heard something of Jesus Christ that you can relate to someone else. If you've seen a movie, if you've seen a football game, then the next day you can relate what took place in that event that you've seen, that you participated in, that you were a part of. The same is true with salvation. You don't have to attend a class on how to be a Christian witness. You just live your life. Now, of course, if you live it wrong, you're still going to be a Christian witness, but it'll be how not to live your Christian life. Fellowship begins with seeing and hearing the voice of Jesus Christ through the words of this book you're holding in your hands. That's the means that he's chosen to communicate his will and his purpose to us. Not quite as dramatic as seeing an 80-foot Jesus, you know, appearing on top of the waves of the sea, but this is much more real than that. That usually comes from eating chili right before you go to bed. Fellowship, true fellowship, is with Jesus Christ. And then that fellowship overflows to the church family, to other Christian friends and relatives, and to your own family. He said, verse 5, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, I have fellowship with Jesus Christ, but I don't see the importance of going to church. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie. Because if you're having fellowship with Jesus Christ and he is leading you, I can promise you he's leading you to church. He's leading you to fellowship with other Christians. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have not only fellowship with Jesus Christ, but we have fellowship one with another. You get that? We have fellowship one with another. And the water in the baptism cleanses us from all sin. Oh, I didn't read that right, did I? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You won't find a lost person anywhere in the Bible getting baptized for salvation. You won't find a baby anywhere in the New Testament getting baptized to remove the stain of original sin and protect them until they reach an age of accountability and they can confirm on their own faith that they have been dared not to by their parents in front of the church. You don't see that anywhere in the New Testament. Baptism always, always is after salvation. If you have not been born again, water is not going to change your spiritual composition. Because unless I have missed something, water, whether it's in your bathtub or in your shower or in a baptism font or in the baptismal, is H2O. The composition of it doesn't change when it comes into the church building. It comes from the same source that your shower does. So if baptism confers grace on you, then you're going to get grace every time you take a shower. And when Jesus Christ saves you, a fellowship begins. And he takes it upon himself to initiate it. It was God who went looking for Adam in the cool of the day. And because he was wondering why Adam had not met him already so that they could... I got to teach. I can't preach today. Because Adam had not met him for them to walk together in fellowship. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos chapter 4 asks. We have something in common with Jesus Christ. We belong to him by salvation. So let me ask you about that fellowship. Because if there's not much of a fellowship there, there won't be a fellowship here. So, can you go a whole day without prayer? Can you go a whole day without opening the pages of this book? Let me ask it this way. Can you go a whole day without ever drinking water or eating anything? You make time for that, do you not? Because there is a weakness that comes over you. There is somebody inside of you that growls when they haven't been fed. Kind of like an old dog. Same is true spiritually. When you don't feed yourself spiritually, you're going to get spiritually weak. Let me ask you this. When you have a day off or you're on vacation and you're with your wife or your husband all day long, do you go all day long and never speak to one another? Now, I'm talking about normal situations, not when you're mad at each other. If you don't, something's wrong in that relationship. And that's usually what causes... That's another subject. True fellowship is with Jesus Christ. And that is daily. And then that fellowship flows out of you to everyone you come in contact with. That's why lost people are uncomfortable around you. That's why when you're with a lost person, there's just not a whole lot to talk about once you've covered the weather and you've covered the latest stupidity coming from Washington, D.C. or Austin, the latest news event. You know, it rained in Cambodia, so there must be climate change. When your favorite sports team loses, which is often, what do you talk about? Talk about it with your lost friend? You talk about how much y'all pray together? Talk about things in the Bible? They're not interested in that. If there's no Christian fellowship, it's probably because there's no fellowship with Jesus Christ. If there's no fellowship with Jesus Christ, you need to go back to whatever it is you're calling salvation. Salvation is a birth. Your human spirit that was dead comes alive to the things of God, to the Word of God, to the presence of God in you. And there is a natural response to the indwelling presence of God inside of you daily. And there's a back and forth. There's a prayer is a conversation. It's a two-way conversation. Prayer is you speaking words to God, and reading His Word is Him speaking words to you. And the overflow of that affects everyone around you. And so when we bring that overflow of fellowship with Jesus Christ into the church, man, there's not another experience in the world that can compare to that, unless you're hindering that fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship is spending time with the Lord, is spending time with one another as a result of that. Number two, fellowship is how we care for one another. It's basic. It's Christianity 101. It's caring for somebody other than just yourself. Just your family. It's others. How much time are you focused on others? When you're praying, is the focus on your needs or someone else's needs? Is your focus on the glory of God, or you having glory, you having a position, you having your needs met? Coming together means we care for one another. We care for one another because God has put a love in our heart for one another. We have no excuse not to love another person, lost or saved. Say they don't deserve it. Did you? That's why it's called grace. So if the only source of love is God, and you don't know God, you won't know anything about love. You've never experienced love until you experience salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing you experience of salvation is His love. You're loved. And you're not loved based on what you've done, or your background, or who your parents were, or what your position is. You are loved because God set his love on you, and you did nothing to deserve it. That's grace. And he forgave you of sin. That's mercy. And we ought to treat other people that same way. So it's not an option whether I love someone or not. I have to stop the love of Jesus Christ flowing out of me in order not to love another person, especially a brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Man, I want to preach. Yeah. Second Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, it didn't say be ugly. It didn't say walk on the other side of the street. It didn't say ignore them. Now, in some cases, you have to withdraw. But for the most part, we have to deal with other people in order for this overflow of the fellowship of Jesus Christ to affect them. But that doesn't mean that we form a close friendship with them. Because there again, we have nothing spiritually in common with an unbeliever. So if you yoke together with an unbeliever, if you have a close friendship with an unbeliever, you're in the same position that the nation of Israel was with the Canaanites. Israel never influenced the Canaanites. The Canaanites always influenced Israel. And they influenced them to turn away from God and to worshiping and serving God. And those lost people will do the same thing to you. But I got to ask you, what do you have in common with them? What's the basis of the friendship? It ain't Jesus Christ. And he asked the question, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? That's what John was asking in 1 John chapter 1. What concord hath Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel, one that does not believe and rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ? Verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Not isolated, separate, different. If you just be who you are, you will be different from the world and from the lost that are separated from God. So if you have a friendship and a fellowship with the world and you don't have a fellowship with the church, I can just about guarantee you it's because you don't have a fellowship with Jesus Christ because you've never been born again. Chapter 8, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That's the church. That's part of the work of the church. The fellowship of ministering to others. Friendship is based on a commonality. And we share something in common. Every single individual that's saved shares in common, regardless of background, Jesus Christ. It's a mutual exchange of experience with Jesus Christ, that which we have seen, that which we have heard. That's the basis of the fellowship. And so as we come together from all the different backgrounds, from all the different spiritual stages of growth, we have one thing in common: a love for Jesus Christ, a love for His Word, and we have both experienced the reality of Jesus Christ that we can talk about and discuss. True fellowship should lead to a form of discipleship. If there is a variance in spiritual growth, someone who has been saved a while eventually ends up in a discipleship role, because the fellowship of the common experience of Jesus Christ usually leads to questions from a younger Christian. And in answering those questions from the Bible, it moves from fellowship to discipleship. Am I talking about something foreign? Or is this something we experience all the time? If it's foreign, you got a problem. So it's walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ together with another Christian. Number three, why is fellowship so important? It's commanded. It's not optional. Membership in a church is not optional. Hebrews chapter 10. One of the problems that the Hebrew Christians were going through after they were scattered from Jerusalem is they stopped because of peer pressure from their Jewish family, from Jewish friends. They stopped attending church, especially church that had a mix of Gentiles and Jewish Christians. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. There's the cleansing factor again, the blood of Jesus Christ. Enter into the holy of holies, into the very presence of God. There's a boldness there. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Notice us. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He's faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You notice it's us, our, not me and mine. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As it gets closer and closer to the close, we need to see more the importance of joining together than ever before. How can you consider one another and exhort one another if you're not around one another? If you don't even know one another, except for an hour every other Sunday or so. That's not a church family. Because fellowship cannot take place that way. How can you love and commit acts of charity, works of faith, forgive one another, support one another, encourage one another, if you don't come together? I mean, does your job require you to show up every day? Wow. So when you take on a job, you assume a commitment and a responsibility and an accountability to show up and do what it was, whatever it is you were hired to do. Does your commitment to the Heavenly Father, is that less than your commitment to a human boss that you don't even like? I don't understand. What would your boss do if right in the middle of the day, when you have a time schedule of a task you have to complete, and he or she walks by and you're asleep? Why is fellowship important? It's commanded. And we were not meant to be alone. None of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself, Romans 14, verse 7 says. Our life is intended to touch other people, and it does. You ever tried to play checkers by yourself? Now, if you beat yourself, I'm kind of worried about you. You ever tried to play ping pong? None of you is that fast. What about baseball? Little guy, none of his friends showed up. He was there with his bat and his ball and his glove. He just decided, I'll just play baseball by myself. So he got up to the plate. He threw the ball up. Whoosh! Missed it. Picked it up again. Threw it up. Whoosh! Missed it. Strike two. Boy, he dug in this time. Bat, hit the bat on the ground. Got ready. Threw it up. Whoosh! Strike three. Struck out. Threw the bat down. Mom's looking out the window saying, oh, that he's going to be so discouraged all day now. She heard him as he walked away. Wow, what a pitcher. So I guess you can, but it's just not the same as with other eight people, you know, playing with you. Fellowship is important because of the common enemy. When the wolves start howling, the sheep come closer together. Open up your time to invest that time in Christian fellowship. Those of you that like to grill, I think one of the worst inventions has been a gas grill. I'm just going to say that. Building that charcoal is a fine art. You don't get that with gas. I got some witnesses out there. You get those little charcoal briquettes, and you make a little pile out of them. Then you get that lighter fluid. And then you turn it upside down and empty it. Y'all with me? Yeah. You know, you're going to start a fire. You know, don't fool around. And so then you go to light it. and you get that whole book of matches, and you do that, because if you do it this way, it'll take about 2 months for the eyebrows to grow back. But you know what'll happen as that fire starts making those charcoals start turn gray? One of them will roll down and go off out here to the side. And when you go to check on it, there's this warm glow coming from those charcoals. But then you look over at this one by itself, it's still hard and it's cold. Well, a lot of Christians are, when they get away from the fellowship of the church, they get hard, they get cold, and they get exposed to the enemy. Stay in the flock. Stay close to the fire of God and His Word and His people. Care for one another. Pray for one another. Minister to one another. And realize how important fellowship is in order to have the church that God has designed for His church to be. When you come together, is it to have fellowship one with another? Do you first have fellowship with the Lord? Have you ever been born again? If not, that's where you start. You can't have fellowship with the church. You can't have fellowship with Jesus Christ until you're born again and you belong to Him. Do you belong to Him? Do you realize that it's God's will that you do? Do you know the only thing that's keeping you from that fellowship with the Lord is you? It's not God. He's ready right now, this very instant, to receive you into His family. If you're ready to turn your back on your life and your sin and do it His way, the way that you have been designed by God as Creator to live. Now, you have been born again. Then you have to see that the purpose of the salvation is for you to come into a church family that He has led you to and He has joined you to, and work committed into that church family to do the work that He has saved you and added you to that body. And if you're not doing that, there's a way to start right now. You're already in the place. So why not steadfastly continue? Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, that You have a plan and You have a purpose for each of our lives. And it's through You and it's through Your church. Help us, Lord, to see the absolute necessity of being saved. And I pray we'd do that this morning. Then, Lord, would You show us the absolute necessity of being in a committed relationship and fellowship with a church family, working together side by side to carry out Your purpose and Your will. Lord, thank You for this church. Thank You for each and every person that You've added to this church. I pray a strengthening of marriages, of the families, and of this church family. Draw us in a little closer together because of the day. Lord, we can hear the wolves howling over the distant hill. And they're getting closer. Lord, it's time to get into the sheepfold so we can be trained, so that we, when we go out in the morning and follow the shepherd, Lord, we'll be protected and we'll be doing what You intended for us to do. Lord, my prayer is that everyone in this room, everyone listening in the, on the service on YouTube, would know you as Lord and Savior. And then learn to know the fullness of joy of fellowship with you and with your people. Bless now, Lord, this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Brother Gary, if you'll come stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you.